You are listening to Mobility Marvels, the Civitas podcast. Civitas is a European Union initiative working with cities to make sustainable mobility a reality for all. I am Adrienne Kotler, and this is the second episode of Season 2 of Mobility Marvels. In today's episode, we're diving deep into one city's experience. The Civitas Handshake Project aims to make cycling an everyday reality in cities across Europe by bringing together established cycling capitals with up-and-coming future cycling capitals. The city of Bruges in Belgium is one of these up-and-comers, and today we are sitting down with one of the city's mobility experts to hear more about Bruges' cycling transformation. So welcome, Bart. Thank you very much for joining us to talk to us a bit more about Bruges. And first off, I was wondering if you could introduce yourself and tell our listeners a bit about your job and your role in Handshake.
My name is Bart Slapping. I'm a mobility expert at the city of Bruges, and I mainly work on strategic dossiers, like strategic projects in the port area, the building of a new lock, and advising the Flemish government on that. And I'm also in charge of the project management of Handshake within the city of Bruges.
Excellent. So to set the scene a little bit, so people have some context, I'd like to set a challenge for you, which I think will be quite challenging. But I'd like to ask if you could summarize cycling in Bruges in just two sentences. So one sentence to describe what's going really well and one sentence for what is still a challenge in the city.
Yeah, I think what's going well is that you can say that cycling is really in the DNA of our city. Both the minds of the people, the politicians, but also in the urban fabric of our city. So we're from nature, you could say, a cycling city. It's in our bones, in our blood, everywhere. What I think is a challenge in Bruges is especially the north of Bruges, that's the port area, and that's a huge challenge to integrate cycling infrastructure in that busy traffic freight area.
Yeah, sure. Cycling and freight can work well together, but it's definitely, my impression is that that's quite new and takes some innovative thinking to get them to work together.
Yeah, absolutely. And also it's a whole other world. You're used to work in a city area and there everything is bigger, much complicated. So it's quite a challenge to find also the right solution for that right space.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you discuss cycling really being in the DNA of the city, has that always been true or is that rather new?
I think we had a mind shift, I think, in the 1970s. At that time, we got a problem in our city. The city of Bruges is well known for its medieval street pattern. So small, narrow, curvy roads. And at that time, the era of King Car was evolving. And yeah, the city just hit its limits. We couldn't take any more cars at that time. And yeah, at that time, it was whether a choice if we would adapt to the car or whether the car and the traffic would adapt to the city. And we luckily chose the second thing. And we started working on what's called a Structuurplan. And that's the first mobility plan, a first concept on the city of our dreams, the city of Bruges. And the choice was made to choose really for the city, not only as the collection of buildings and historical venues, but also a city for people. And instead of using public spaces or squares as parking lots, we converted them back to really nice public squares. Also our streets, traffic calming began in place. A first circulation plan was initiated in 1978. And you see from that moment, we had a mental shift for a city of cars towards a city for people and a city which is also proud of its world heritage. From that point on, we evolved in our mobility thinking. And then we saw in the years 1980, mm-hmm. 1990, that also cycling became a hot topic because we felt that at that time, cycling is also a good means to that end, to creating a vibrant city. It's not like the car, which suffocates a city, but the cycling can also make the city. And it's a relationship mm-hmm. which works, I think, in both ways. First of all, cycling respects the city. It's not abusive to the city, but also it's nice as a cyclist to experience the city of Bruges. You are in a marvelous setting. I'm feeling a little bit a tourist every day I'm cycling in Bruges, although I'm born in Bruges, but it's a joy of cycling in Bruges. So it works both ways, both for the cyclist and both for the city. So yeah, it's a match made in heaven, you could say.
Yeah. And, you know, I also always find it interesting when you hear the same solutions being used in such different European cities. You know, the Civitas initiative was recently in Belno for a workshop, and we were hearing about the exact same thing where they were taking former parking lots in the city center and converting them into public squares, and how it just totally revitalized the feeling in the city. I actually think it also relates to Handshake. It really speaks to the power of bringing cities together. So perhaps on that note, I'll actually ask you a more specific question about Civitas Handshake. Yeah, so some context for our listeners. Handshake aims to make everyday cycling a reality in cities through facilitating guidance and also mentorship between the so-called established cycling capitals and these sort of up-and-coming future cycling capitals, as well as by giving them a chance to immerse themselves in other cities' cycling cultures and infrastructure. And this whole idea of having a mutual goal that all of the capitals are looking to try to make it more attractive for people to want to cycle seems to have had a really powerful impact of uniting the 13 cities that are all involved in the project. And I'm curious if you could talk a bit more about why Bruges was keen to be one of these future cycling capitals.
Yeah, we have already a cycling tradition. You could say we are already a cycling city, but at this time, I think we hit another ceiling. But because of cycling becoming too popular, you could say with the style, we have too much cyclists for the current cycling network. For example, we have bi-directional cycling tracks of just 2.50 meters with up to 500-600 cyclists in a rush hour.
Wow.
So too many cyclists, you could say. And yeah, then you need a new way of thinking on how to tackle not those missing links, but the weak links, which are appearing more and more in our cycling network in Bruges. And then I think it's really inspiring to look at the big brothers, the cycling capitals like Amsterdam, Munich, and Copenhagen, how they are lifting up their way of thinking on cycling infrastructure. And you see that you really need a new way of thinking of transforming yourself from a cycling city towards a cycling capital. And for that reason, Handshake is marvelous.
Yeah, that's a very interesting perspective. You're right. It was probably a misnomer to say that Bruges was an up-and-coming cycling capital, because even though that may be true for thinking about that jump from cycling city to cycling capital, it also understates the presence of bikes. As you say, you're not talking about missing links. You're just talking about raising your ceiling.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think if you are an emerging cycling city, the main goal is establishing a first network and a coherent network. And you often think about cycling lanes, and that's all right. And that's also logic, because at that time, there is a little bit of struggle, you could say, with the cars. Road safety is an issue, and you have to guarantee the new cyclists the best way of going by bike in your city. But at the time, you are approaching a tipping point, and in Bruges we see that. At the moment we have more than 50% of the traffic inbound and outbound of the city which are cyclists, so we are overpassing the cars. But at that time you need a new mental shift, and at that time I don't think you need more cycling lanes, because they are limited and they're wide. Also in an existing city you can't enlarge cycling tracks because of the narrow streets and protected areas and stuff like that. And at that time you have to invent a new toolbox for making that shift from a cycling city with a basic coherent network towards a cycling capital where cycling is really mainstream. And in the case of Bruges, we came up with concepts on transforming streets to cycling streets. We came up with extra circulation measures, road cuts and stuff like that. And that's a whole new toolbox you have to tap into and explore.
Yeah. Well, what you're describing basically answers my next question, which was about how cycling can be innovative. So, you know, for some context, Handshake was funded by the European Commission as a project that helps with the uptake of innovative solutions. And it's being showcased in our upcoming Civitas publication, also under that theme of innovative solution uptake. But I actually think that oftentimes people don't really think of cycling as being innovative because it's a means of transport we've used for a long time and that cities have been, you know, pushing to promote for a while. And I'm wondering if you could, give us some examples and also tell me what you might say to someone who thinks that promoting cycling wouldn't qualify as mobility innovation, let's say.
It's quite interesting that you ask about innovation because, in fact, what we are doing in Bruges is go back in time when the streets were not traffic space, but the living space for all the citizen. And that's something, you could say it's innovative, but you could also call it the renaissance of the street. We are rediscovering our city. We are rediscovering our streets, not only as traffic space, but also as living space. And I think for us, what's really innovative is that we rediscovered this truth. And at the moment, we are, like I said, tapping into a new toolbox for inventing the city and the streets in a new way. And I think we have two flagship projects in Handshake. The first is the FR30, the cycling ring road. But now we are talking about an urban cycling trail. And you could say, that's semantic, but when we started with Handshake, we said, we want to create a cycling ring road around our city center. But then we tendered this survey, and West 8 and Copenhagen Ace, they said, ce ce n'est pas un ring. So a wink to Belgian surrealism. Mm-hmm. They said, no, it can't be a cycling ring. And they were true, because a cycling ring is really a modernistic, car-oriented idea that speed is of the essence. And because of that consultancy group, we reinvented our cycling network, not based on speed, but on the urban qualities. And so we invented a new cycling network, a cycling network 2.0, you could call it, where we untangled cycling and car traffic. So we wouldn't place the network on our ring road, but we would choose more pleasant greenery, blue areas where to cycle. And that was really innovative because, if you think about cycling, you have to compete with the car on speed and stuff like that. But no, in Bruges and many other cities, you can compete with the comfort, with the pleasantry of enjoying a walk, a cycling tour along the Bruges canals. And that was really interesting to see and really innovative.
Yeah, absolutely. Innovation is not always, you know, a new digital technology. It's also a shift in mindset or these light bulb moments where you
absolutely
realize, a new word can totally change the presentation.
Yeah. And a second flagship project is in Handshake. The rethinking of the ring road area at our train station square. When we started the project, and you see it in the project description we sent to the European Commission, we said we would build a cycling bridge. Okay, that's our idea. But then we began studying the idea of how the current flows work and how also the landscape works at that area. And we are adjacent to the UNESCO World Heritage City Center. And during our workshops, including one immersive symposium with the city of Amsterdam, we came up with, we won't build a cycling bridge. We will go underneath it because of the natural topography of the area. And so if you would leave in the future the train station of Bruges, you would go underneath the ring road, and whoops, splendid Bruges, the towers, the green ramparts will appear. Yeah, and that's marvelous. That's thinking about the city and how you can present it. And that's something, yeah, you don't have to copy Copenhagen and take a bridge from there and put it in Bruges. Now you have to think about the city DNA, and for us it's World Heritage, and then find your right solution. And that's not all. In Handshake, because of that immersive symposium, we came up also with the outside-the-box idea, you could call. Instead of building a pedestrian and cycling tunnel underneath the ring road, yeah, we came up with the crazy idea, why not build a car bridge? Not by raising the ring road, but by putting the cars on a fixed bridge, so we can have a span of 30-40 meters. So instead of building a small, narrow tunnel, which would feel insecure, especially at evening, we would have a span of 30-40 meters. We would tilt the square underneath it, and at ground level you would have 15 meters, so a wide entrance to the city. And that's marvelous. I still got goosebumps if I told you that. That was the moment in the immersive symposium where we said, yes, we've got it.
Nice. And I like the idea that instead of building a bridge for the bikes to avoid the cars, you're building a car bridge for the cars to avoid
the people, especially
And it makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's so easy and it makes sense, but it took us 1 year to come up with that simple idea. It was marvelous.
There is one Handshake quote-unquote innovative method that I've read about that I think in some ways is a lot more what people think about when they think about innovation. You know, we tend to think about complicated algorithms and digital platforms. And in some ways, I think that one thing that Handshake has worked with that sort of fits that model is this bikeonomics method. And I have to say, I'm not an economics expert. My non-expert understanding is that this is a model that cities use to try to determine the economic and also social value of different cycling-related investments to try to help guide decisions, you know, whether to build a street that's only open to cyclists or a new cycling bridge. Have I understood that right? And then also, could you speak a bit about how Bruges has gotten involved in this bikeonomics model?
Yeah. If we talk about cycling infrastructure, we geeks are talking about cycling. That's our language. And it's, if you have to convince other people, yeah, you have to talk another language. And money talk is how the world works. And I think bikeonomics gives you a tool to make that story right, to make the intangible gains of cycling infrastructure, better air quality and stuff like that. It makes it visible for people. You could say, thanks to bikeonomics, you can celebrate your victories as a cycling policy officer, for example, because often we have difficulty to explain to politicians the benefits of the cycling. And of course, I don't have to convince you why you should cycle, but for other people who are not in our world, it's difficult. And bikeonomics give you a tool to monetize the benefits of cycling by looking at air quality, traffic, safety, and putting money on that. And it's a good way to expand your view as a cycling officer, for example, and to discuss about the benefits.
Yeah. So are there any investments that the bikeonomics model is supporting now in Bruges? Are there any changes that are going to be helped by looking at it through this lens?
Unfortunately not. The downside of bikeonomics is that it's quite a lengthy process. You have to invest a lot of things in it. And that's, I think, a downside in Bruges. We don't have a tradition in data collection. And of course, if it's garbage in, it's garbage out, like the people of this issue say. It needs an investment in data collection, ex post and ex ante, to have the right set of numbers and to make that that bikeonomics tool. But I think the main lesson for me is, a new way of thinking, a new way of explaining cycling infrastructure is popping up in my head. Like for example, the cycling bridge of, or the cycling tunnel, I should say, at the train station area. I think 7-8 years ago, there was another idea of building a car tunnel, and it would cost 20 to 30 million euros. Today, we will build at the train station area not one, but three cycling tunnels, and also renovate the train station square for exact the same amount of money. But we will have more and more things, and it will be more efficient about road safety. Also, the flow of cars will be better. So it's also a good story to say that you don't have to build concrete to build car infrastructure. A more efficient way is a cycling infrastructure to appreciate the soft values of your city. And I think that's the main lesson for me from Bikeonomics.
Yeah, that's excellent. Everything that we're saying now is so related. It all just comes back to kind of a simple mind shift that makes these solutions that on paper seem quite obvious or quite simple, makes them visible if you just think about things in just a slightly tweaked manner.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's also necessary you celebrate your victories. We are too humble. Sorry to say that, but we are often too humble to say, we did a great job. Like, and if you would open a highway, then every national broadcast will come and celebrate it. And yeah, we are just doing small things with big results. And that's also great on Bike Economics, that it helps to celebrate that victories, that achievements you do.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that's another one of those statements that I've heard from countless Civitas cities, because, you know, when you're working at the local level, I totally understand that it makes sense to be very critical because, you know, you're always trying to improve your local area and you're always working with really passionate communities who want to keep improving and improving. But I think that it can really make it difficult to see the progress and to, yeah, celebrate your achievements. I agree. I think that cities in general across the world are too humble, which is probably not something that, you know, people who don't live in the cities, I bet you a lot of rural dwellers would not agree that cities are too humble, but that's been my experience.
No, but that's true. And it's, like I said, it's really the renaissance of the city. And just think 20, 30 years ago, then the city was the evil. It was dangerous to live in from a social point of view, from traffic point of view. And now you see a mental shift, and that's also good. And I think that's why cycling is really interesting. The essence of the city is bringing people together. And that's exactly what cycling is doing. You can cycle along with two or three friends if you have enough room. But you can't do that with your car. You can't have a conversation. You can't look each other in the eyes. And that's a really big advantage of the city and the means of cycling, that it really makes the city enjoyable and makes a city human.
Mm-hmm. Fosters community, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, Bart, I just have one more question for you, and it's about looking forward. So as we wrap up our conversation, I wonder if you can tell our listeners where you see cycling in Bruges in 2030 and then even further into the future, let's say by 2050.
Yeah, I hope that and cycling will be main street, not only in the city center, which is already today, but it will be in the wall of the city, also in the north of Bruges, in the port area, and perhaps even in the city region or neighboring municipalities. It would be great, thanks to the cycling highways and other investments, that we could make mainstream, not only in the city center, but for wall of the city and wall of the city region. That's my dream.
How long do you think it'll take before you start to see some of that become reality?
I think you need just some flagship projects. Like, for example, at the moment we are working at 2-3 big cycling highways. And I think if we can realize them in, let's say, 5 years, then also a mental shift will happen.
Excellent. I think that is a very uplifting moment to end on, actually. I like that idea that it really... you've got a goal and you have motivation to work towards it. So yeah, I mean, thank you so much for sharing your insights, for talking to us about Handshake and giving such specific examples, but not only specific examples, but I think also examples that while they are closely tied to Bruges kind of culture, they're also very applicable to other cities. And I do believe that your work will inspire other cities. So yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And if you are interested in learning more about Bruges' progress towards becoming a cycling capital, you can visit civitas.eu, that's civitas.eu, where stories of their success have been posted as news items and where we will soon be publishing a compilation publication, which features more insights from Bruges and also from four other excellent Civitas cities and projects. Links to all the related resources and stories are included in our episode description. And thank you all very much for listening, and we will see you next time on Mobility Marvels.